feeling that our minds are racing in all kinds of directions, and it becomes very frustrating because you jump from one thought to the next, and sometimes you go in a full circle and come back to the first idea, and you haven't gotten anywhere. You feel like your mind just keeps on hopping from one thing to the next to the next, and then you're going all over the place, and you just can't focus. You can't complete an idea in a beneficial way. And it becomes even worse when your behavior starts to mimic your thought patterns. So you start to do one task, and then you jump to the next, you keep moving from one to the other, and subhanAllah, it becomes extremely problematic because you can't complete anything and finish what you want, what you've started. It can get so bad, in fact, that a person, if they go far enough down this road, they can become so impulsive in nature that they obey every vain impulse that comes to their mind. And these are the type of people that Allah describes as what? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen
he
who takes his desires as his God? Because a deity, a God, is something that is obeyed, al-muta', something that is obeyed entirely. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is warning and saying, can you imagine someone who is so obedient to their desires, they jump from one thought to the next, they start jumping from one idea to the next, and they can't control themselves, and they just are so impulsive that they can't have any self-control. We don't want to get to that extent. So how can we gain some control? This is the question that should be on our minds. If I'm the type of person who feel like I have a storm circling around my mind, my brain is jumping from one thing to the next, and I can't develop any focus, how can I fix this? How can I improve this? Well, there are some issues that need to be analyzed and appreciated. Point number one. Perhaps the case is that your overactive mind is a result of you trying to avoid a certain responsibility. Sometimes it's the case that you know you have something to do, whether it be a homework or task or whatever the case is, you know you have to fix something. But to avoid it, you allow your mind to jump from A to B to C, and you just keep on jumping all over the place. Why? Because this is a form of procrastination. And so, one helpful method is to ask yourself, what am I trying to avoid? Why is it that my mind keeps jumping from all these different things? Maybe I'm avoiding something. What is it? Let me ask myself to perhaps calm the storm. Point number two. Sometimes you just need to analyze what keeps popping into your mind. Ask yourself, why does this idea keep reoccurring? Is it because it's something that's funny to me? Maybe that's the case. Is it a concern of mine? Am I worried about something? Is there some sort of unfinished business that needs to be completed? Is there something I need to get off my chest? Is there something I feel guilty about? So on and so forth. Analyze it. And the beautiful thing about analyzing your own mind and your own thoughts is that sometimes when you feel plagued by an idea, by simply analyzing it, you actually rob it of its power. It used to have power over you. It used to have control over you. But when you analyze it and break it down and understand why it keeps reoccurring, then inshallah ta'ala, you have now control over it. Number three, perhaps it's the case that you have lots of tasks that you need to get done. And the reason why these ideas keep popping into your head is because you're afraid that you'll forget. So ultimately, it's actually quite a simple solution. It could be the case, you just need to write it down, make a list, make a to-do list. And you will feel like a great burden has been lifted off of your back. You'll feel so comfortable that, oh, I kept remembering, do this tomorrow, and this the next day, and that the next day. Oh, I can't forget. You write it all down and you feel, breath of fresh air. You feel like a breeze has just come over you. What is that feeling? I got this burden off my chest and now I can clear my mind. A fourth idea is that perhaps the ideas that keep plaguing your mind are actually not so important, rather they're frivolous. Maybe they're just useless thoughts, distractions. How do I deal with that? Well, there's two extreme methods. One is the type of person who they get a distraction and they follow it and say, I'm going to let this idea jump to the next distraction and the next and the next. And then you go down this rabbit hole and then you feel lost. You feel like you've wasted your time. To follow the distraction is one extreme. The other extreme is to try to fight it. No, I'm going to get full control over my mind and never be distracted. That doesn't work though. Why? Because your mind doesn't work that way. Rather, An easier path that is much more viable and realistic is to say what? Just in the same way that if I'm a traveler going from point A to point B and I'm on the highway and I see a nice mountain over here and I see a beautiful tree over there, what do you do? Do you say to yourself, I can't even look at them? Why? Because if I look, then I'll be distracted from my goal. No, that's kind of extreme. And the other extreme is to say, ooh, that's a beautiful tree. Let me pull over to the side and get out and start touching it and climbing it. And every single time you see something beautiful, you stop your drive and you're never going to get anywhere. Too many breaks. So these are the two extremes. What is the natural, normal, intelligent thing to do? A distraction comes, you let it pass. Another distraction comes, that's okay. I'm not going to follow it. I'm not going to let it jump me from one thought to the next. I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to keep thinking about my goals. I'm going to let it come and let it pass. I'm not going to fight with it. I'm just going to let it come and let it pass. This is something that you need to train yourself in, inshallah ta'ala. Point number five. Sometimes the thought that keeps plaguing your mind is actually some sort of a trauma that is torturing you. And so it keeps reoccurring, keeps coming back, and it won't let you go, keeps distracting you. What do you do? First and foremost, recognize that it's a thought. It is not happening right now. This diminishes it, inshallah ta'ala. Number two, a thought isn't you, nor does it define you. Something that happened in your past is in your past. It's not who you are now. You can move past it. And point number three, sometimes the best way to get over a past trauma is to learn a lesson from it. Now, obviously, this is case dependent on how great the trauma was. If it was something relatively small, then maybe you can just think about it yourself. Take the time to think about what is the lesson I can learn from this, and maybe you can come to that conclusion yourself. And now that you have turned it into a lesson, it's actually now a benefit. So instead of plaguing you and reoccurring in your mind over and over and over again, now, because it's a benefit, you no longer look at it as a problem. You actually benefited from it, and now you can relax about it. If it's something that's bigger, maybe you can't do it yourself. Maybe you need to talk to family or friends. If it's something really traumatic, maybe you need to talk to a therapist. But the goal can always be the same, which is what? Try to learn and turn it into a lesson so that instead of it plaguing you, it is now benefiting you, and now you can get over it and past it, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, if this is a trauma that you were the one guilty of doing it, and you feel stricken with guilt, nafs al-lawama, the blameworthy self is constantly coming at you and telling you what you did was wrong, then perhaps this is the best time to make tawbah. And to again learn a lesson from it. Say, Ya Allah, I turn back to you. I'm going to allow this to make me closer to you. I'm going to make this something, a means of tawbah, to keep begging for your forgiveness. I'm going to learn from the mistake that I made so I never do it again, so that I teach others how to avoid these mistakes and how guilty it'll make them feel. And now that you've actually turned it into a positive, then inshallah ta'ala, it will no longer plague you. It'll actually be of benefit, bi-idhnillah. Point number six. If you feel that you're being plagued by negative thoughts over and over again and you can't gain control over this storm that is above your head, what can you do? Recognize that it's possible that you're actually addicted to negative thinking. A lot of us don't think about this, but it's something to think about. Sometimes a person can be addicted, yes, that's right, addicted to their negative thinking. Why? Well, because it's part of their identity now. And if they don't have that pain, they don't know who they are. Do you know who I am? I'm the person that went through this and this and this. You don't know what my life has been like. Let me tell you. They depend, their whole identity is dependent upon this traumatic experience that they experienced, that they went through, and all the pain and all the suffering, so that if they were to actually heal and make it go away, it's like they don't know who they are anymore. Sometimes they use it as a means, they allow their trauma and pain to be a means to rant and to get angry. And that anger gives them an ego, because now I have a right to yell. Now I have a right to scream. And yelling and screaming makes me feel big. And so this is feeding my ego, and I actually kind of like it. But what happens if they forgive and forget? What if they heal from this past trauma? Could be the case. They have nothing to yell about. Now they feel smaller, and their ego is not being fed. So you have to ask yourself, if I keep on rehashing or reliving or re-experiencing, thinking about over and over again all the pain that I've been through, I'm not giving a diagnosis. I'm simply saying, think about it. Is it possible that you're doing this because this is feeding your ego, giving you an identity, giving you the feeling that now I have a platform, now I have a reason to be heard. Why? Because I went through this. Everybody should listen to me. And this is what makes you addicted to your past trauma. It all could also be the case that you still are maintaining a childlike attitude that says what? That maybe if I just cry enough, somebody's gonna fix it. You're supposed to get over this as an adult, but some people never grow up from that. And so they continuously complain, like children expecting the world to change their problems, not realizing that Allah Ta'ala is the one who says what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah says, indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people until what? Until they complain enough? No. Until they change what is in themselves. And the seventh reason, the seventh point that I'd like to offer as to how we can calm the storm that is brewing above our heads, that is plaguing us, is to first recognize that you have the ability, you do have the ability to calm that storm. A lot of people don't tell you this. If nobody's ever told you this before, allow me to be the first person to tell you, you have the ability to calm that storm. You might think, no, I don't have the ability. Really? Okay, well, let's analyze this for a second. As I'm speaking, I want you to focus on my words between now and now. Tell me, what were you thinking about between those moments? Think about it. What was on your mind? I can't speak for everybody, but I'm going to guess that for the majority of you, the answer is nothing. I wasn't thinking about anything. You said, pay attention to my words from now, and then you stopped. And I said, what's this guy? Where's this guy going with this? And you stopped and you paid close attention. Were you thinking about your school? Were you thinking about your bills? Were you thinking about the grocery list that you have to buy? What were you thinking about? And the answer is, for the vast majority of you, maybe even all of you, the answer is nothing. I had a clear state of mind. Do you know why? Because you were in a state of receptiveness. And so when you recognize that you have the ability to clear your mind, and the way that you clear your mind from the storm brewing above your head is by being in a state of receptiveness, then the only question you have to ask yourself is, not, do I have control? You clearly have control. The question is, how can I extend that control? How can I remain in a clear state of mind for a longer period of time, not just 3 seconds like the brother just demonstrated? No, I need more than 3 seconds. I need maybe a minute, 2 minutes, etc. How do I do it? And the answer is, you remain in a state of receptiveness. Well, how can I do that? How can I try to be receptive to the world and not be completely confounded and plagued by random thoughts? One answer is, just the same way you were focusing on my words, focus on something small and simple. Practice these exercises of focus, of doing what? Sitting in a room that is where you're alone, where things are quiet, and focus clearly on your breathing. Just listen to your own breath. People call this meditation. People say that, oh, these are different practices from different ideas. You can call it whatever you want. It's perfectly halal, it's perfectly fine if you want to sit and simply calm your thoughts and pay close attention to something small and simple, like listening to your own breathing, or pay attention to your hands. What are my hands feeling right now? Are they hot or are they cold? What are they feeling? Let me pay attention to my legs. What are my legs feeling right now? All of you can do this right now. Pay close attention to something small and something simple. And you'll realize that, alhamdulillah, you're clearing your mind and things are becoming a lot easier for you to gain a little bit of calm in your head. And this is a very beautiful practice. In fact, Muslims are encouraged to practice a certain amount of seclusion. Where do we find this? In fact, the Prophet ﷺ tells us what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدِ أَتَّقِي الْغَنِي الْخَفِي Beautiful hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says what? Indeed, Allah loves the abd, the slave, who is taqi, God-fearing. He stays away from haram. He fears Allah. Ghani, he is self-sufficient and he is not in need or constantly asking or seeking more. Why? He's content. He has what he needs and he is satisfied with Allah Ta'ala. And khafi means what? Hidden. This can mean that he's a humble person. This can imply that he's not somebody who's a show-off and always wants everybody's attention. But it could also mean sometimes you need to just be alone. Sometimes you need to be by yourself. Shut the phone off. Get away from people. Spend a few minutes alone with your thoughts. Try to clear your head. Analyze, what do I keep reoccurring thinking about? Do I need to write it down? Do I need to analyze it? Do I need to talk to somebody about it? What is plaguing my mind? And you know what? Maybe I need to practice some methods of training my focus by sitting quietly and focusing on something so simple for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Inshallah ta'ala, if you can do this, You will gain control over the storm that is going on in your mind. And this is going to benefit you a lot, and I'll tell you how, why, inshallah, and how, inshallah, in the next khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallim kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So just a quick recap. When you realize that you have an inability to focus, and so what you need to do is, number one, maybe you recognize that it's an attempt to escape the present moment. So you figure out, what am I avoiding? Or number two, you analyze the thoughts that keep coming back, so you rob them of their power. Or number three, you write down what's on your mind so that you can unload the burden. Or number four, you don't fight the random thoughts, nor do you follow the random thoughts. What? You just let them come and go. You let them come and then pass, and keep focusing on what is important. Or number five, if it's some sort of guilt or some sort of lesson or some sort of trauma that took place, try to benefit by learning the lesson from it, and then you can move on from it, inshallah. Or number six, realize that there's an addictive nature to negative thinking and constantly rehashing negative thoughts. Why? Because you're basing your identity on it, and it's giving you confidence to yell, and it's also giving you a platform that you think, this is my voice to speak. It's all about my oppression. Or number seven, what you need to do is practice what? Receptiveness. By being alone and focusing on something small, something simple for periods of time, and recognize that, alhamdulillah, it is a beneficial way to calm the storm. After you've tried out these different ideas, inshallah ta'ala, you will benefit in what way? Inshallah, you'll benefit by developing presence of mind for three different people. Number one, Allah ta'ala. Number two, for yourself. And number three, for the people around you. Let's go through them one by one. What does it mean that you will have presence of mind with Allah ta'ala? Well, we know that there is this concept called muraqabah. What is muraqabah? Muraqabah is the state in which you feel that Allah ta'ala is present and watching you. You feel that Allah ta'ala is with you at every moment and paying attention to everything that you do. Now, can you have this state of mind when you have a scatter mind? When you have a scatter brain? Momentarily, yes. Oh, I remember Allah is thinking about me. Oh yeah, and I have to go get the groceries. Oh, and I have to do this. Oh, and I remember that funny joke. Oh, and this. Oh, and Allah is watching me. Oh, and this. Oh, and this. Yeah, you can do that. But it's not really the ideal state to be in. If you really want to develop this sense of muraqabah, knowing that Allah Ta'ala is watching you, which is ultimately the state of ihsan, excellence, as the Prophet described and defined ihsan. Excellence to be what? Al-ihsanu an ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. That ihsan, excellence, the best state of to be a muhsin, the best state that you can be in is what? That you worship Allah as though you see Him. But of course you cannot see Him, so you at least know that He is seeing you. You want to be in this state. So how can you get to that state? Maybe take a few minutes to calm your mind, to practice this exercise of focusing in and meditating on something small, clearing your head, and then after 5 minutes, 10 minutes of this, what can you do? You can start remembering, Allah is watching me. Allah Ta'ala has been with me my whole life. Allah Ta'ala knows my thoughts and feelings. Allah Ta'ala knows the rest of my life. Allah Ta'ala has gotten me this far. Allah will be with me for the rest of the journey. And one day I will have to stand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If you can take 5 minutes to clear your mind and then engage in this type of thinking, SubhanAllah, what an effect it has. Perhaps this is why you're encouraged to show up when the adhan happens. When the adhan takes place, you're supposed to come to salah and take a few minutes to wait in the front row. Allow your mind to clear out. And then, once you're in a real state of focus, once you are centered, once you're in a state of mindfulness, then you say your takbir. And now you have a state of khushu', as Allah Ta'ala describes the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That indeed successful are the believers, those who, in their prayers, have what? Khushu'. Concentration and devotion. They have focus on Allah Ta'ala. This is so precious that the Prophet ﷺ described and said what? أول شيء يرفع من هذه الأمة الخشوع حتى لا ترى فيها خاشعا. The Prophet ﷺ said what? The first thing that will be lifted from this ummah is khushu'. This is the most precious thing. It's the easiest thing to go away. And then he said, it's to the point that there will come a time where you won't find a single person who has this khushu'. You won't find one person who is khashi'. You won't find a single person who is concentrated and devoted. Can you imagine going from one masjid to the other and imagine having the ability to look into people's hearts? Obviously, we don't have this ability, but imagine if you could theoretically go from one masjid to the other and you see masjid after masjid, you don't find a single person praying with khushu'. This person's thinking about this, this person's mind is over there. Nobody is even present in the moment. This is a scary thought that is being warned by to us. We are being warned of it by the Prophet ﷺ. So that is being, having presence of mind with Allah. Presence of mind with oneself, what does that mean? How beautiful that 14 times in the Quran, Allah describes the believers as what? As what? لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is an incredible description. There is no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. What is this description talking about? Well, let's think about it. Fear is for the future. You fear what's going to happen. Grief is for the past. Grief is you're plagued by what happened before. Allah is describing the believers 14 times. So clearly this is an important description. 14 times the believers are described as what? They're not overly plagued by the fear of the future because they have tawakkul ala Allah. They have reliance upon Allah. And they are not overly grieved by the past because yes, they made mistakes, but ultimately they can move past it. Why? They make tawbah, they ask Allah for forgiveness, they learn the lesson and they move on. So if they're not overly, their mind is not overly occupied with the future or the past, where is their mind? They have presence of mind. Allahu Akbar. What an incredible description of the believers. How often do we go over these ayat and we don't understand the beautiful lesson held within them? La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. One of the meanings that we can appreciate from these ayat are what? That the believer has presence of mind. He's in the moment. And what a beautiful state to be in. And this is something that we want to retain from our childhood. Subhanallah. You know, children, they have this beautiful quality that they're extremely in the moment. And as we get older, there's lots of things that we want to change from our childhood. We don't want to be, you know, childish. We don't want to be immature. You know, we want to gain more knowledge and wisdom. Of course, yes. But there are some things we want to hold on to. For example, health. When you're young, usually you're healthier. You want to hold on to that. And another thing you want to hold on to is what? Children are present in the moment. When they play with you, the game is the only thing that's real. When they're happy to see you, they're not thinking about this or that. They really have the most genuine smile. They're just really in the moment. This is something that actually you want to hold on to. Be in the moment. When you're doing something, do it fully. And the third point, presence of mind with Allah, presence of mind with yourself, and presence of mind with people. What a beautiful sunnah that we are losing out on when we neglect the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. What is the sunnah that I'm talking about? The Prophet ﷺ was described as what? إِذَا إِلْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا. When he would turn to somebody, he would turn fully and give them his full attention. He had that presence of mind with those who were around him. How often is it the case that when we talk to people, huh, what, yeah, we're giving them half our back, turning to the side, oh yeah, 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 half listening. What did you say again? Sorry, I wasn't listening. And perhaps the worst, and I'm sure we're all familiar with this. Have you ever looked at somebody as they're talking and they're going, uh-huh, what? What, yeah, yeah, what, no, no, yeah? And they're busy looking at their phone. What, yeah, you're saying, what, yeah, go ahead, what you, uh-huh, yeah, yeah, no, for sure. Half listening, half on their phone. We see it all the time. Why? Because the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ of turning your full attention to a person, this seems to be neglected. Why? Because we don't have presence of mind. How beautiful is it when you can completely, when you're with someone, you're really with them. Let's talk. Turn to them fully and really listen to the person. I care about what you're saying. What your words have value. This makes people feel so appreciated and loved. And subhanAllah, how beautiful is it that to the point that the Prophet ﷺ says what? أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَنْ يَحْرُمُ عَلَى النَّارِ. Should I not tell you who is forbidden from the fire? Someone who cannot go to the fire, forbidden. What qualities do they have? عَلَى كُلِّ قَرِيبٍ هَيِّنٍ لَيِّنٍ سَهْلٍ. The Prophet says what? It's the person who you feel close to, qareeb. The person who is what? Hayyin, he's got humility. Layyin, easygoing. Sahl, no problem, amicable, easygoing. How do you develop these qualities? Be present in the moment. If you're not overly concerned, worried and grieving about the past, not overly paranoid about the future, you're in the moment, you're truly with the person, then you have this easygoing attitude. The believer is somebody who's easygoing, he's accommodating. Why? Because that's the effect of Iman. These are the qualities that we want, inshaAllah ta'ala. So may Allah ta'ala make us of those who we take the time to be khafi, to be hidden, to take some time of our lives to just be completely be alone and clear our minds through certain practices of just focusing, gaining our focus through simple practices of focusing on something small like your breathing and so forth to clear your mind. And then after that, allow that to create a state of muraqabah, knowing that Allah ta'ala is watching you. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who, because of these practices, we can develop khushu', something that is so rare and precious. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who we are not overly plagued by fear of the future or grief of the past, rather we can be present in the moment. Yes, of course we plan for the future, and yes, of course we learn lessons from the past, but we don't let them plague us to the point that we are ineffective in the present. We have to have presence of mind. And may Allah ta'ala make us of those who develop the sunnah of giving our full attention to the people that we're with. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen.